Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. Welcome to the program here. You can, as always, take control of the airwaves. And you can bring up anything you want to discuss here as we kick off another live Saturday episode. And the number for you, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up tonight, if we have a chance, I know, Captain, you've been wanting to talk about the godfather of AI quitting his job over at Google and kind of turning against the thing that he created, as I understand it.
Yeah, he's like, peace out. Oh, by the way, warning.
Whoops. Yeah.
He's turning on the machine? Wow, that's a script flip.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a, you know, we've seen this storyline in dystopian science fiction.
Indeed. So we can talk about that. Plus, apparently, Ireland has a new thought crime bill that is shockingly draconian. We'll talk about what that means.
It really is, especially coming from the Irish.
Yep, and then also voters and their opinions about the debt ceiling, which, of course, is still in the news. Also, people in the United States have pessimism is at a new high. Pessimism regarding the economy in the United States at a new high in the U.S., so we can talk about all of that. But last night on the show, and by the way, here tonight it is Ian.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Last night, somebody called in about Argentina, which we've mentioned before is currently experiencing over 100% inflation over the last year. So it's around 13% a month now because it's been quickening a little bit as well. And they mentioned, the caller mentioned, that there's apparently a purported libertarian who is running for president there. The current president, because of the disaster of the economy there, right, and the financial situation, has apparently announced he is not going to run for re-election. So he's out, which means that somebody new is going to get in. And apparently this libertarian guy, he's known for having some wild hair and apparently wild libertarian ideas getting rid of the peso.
First and foremost, on behalf of Beard Talk Live, he has some of the most righteous sideburns I have ever seen.
Oh, nice. We should get him a shirt.
Yeah, right? And that is intentional. He's sort of hearkening back to their culture and one of their previous liberators.
Okay.
So it was sort of that military fashion at the time.
Mm.
So he's sort of saying, I too am a great liberator for you.
Okay.
Which, when you have over 100% inflation, an Austrian economist, which he absolutely is.
See the real deal, you think?
Oh, yeah.
This guy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Milei, M-I-L-E-I, mm-hmm. Javier Milei. What do you know about him?
Well, I know that he doesn't fit into a box easily, that's for sure.
Okay.
Well,
and I just want to say, because oftentimes when people talk about libertarians or anarchists or individualists or whatever, it gets preceded with the crazy idea. And no, they're reasonable ideas.
Right.
They are logical, reasonable, well-thought-out ideas, unlike the rest of politics.
The insane idea of stealing less from you.
Right.
Yeah, no, I've seen the guy speak, and honestly, it sounds like one of us. Like he talks about, well, you see, money came from the free market, and Bitcoin is a way of returning money to the free market, but the central banks don't like it because it takes away their power to steal everyone's money all at once through the inflation tax.
Oh, it does sound like us.
Right?
And apparently this guy is getting some kind of traction with younger voters and with male voters, at least according to an article. I was actually just happened to be reading a little bit about him today, but the piece that I found was really more about the general political situation down there and less about him. It mentions him, but it wasn't all about him. So I still don't know a lot about him. So you saw him speaking, Peoples Mountaineer. Mm-hmm. Was he speaks English as well as Spanish?
No, it was translated Spanish.
Okay.
But, to use the phrase inflation tax over and over again is kind of amazing to watch. Like, the changes that are happening in common language right now are actually a huge white pill to me. So, like, fiat is a normal word for people to use.
Is it really?
Yeah, absolutely. Even the mainstream media starts talking about things in terms of fiat currency, which is just amazing to watch. So,
wow.
To see him propagate the idea of the inflation tax, which is absolutely what it is. When you print a bunch of money, you are taxing everyone all at the same time.
Yep.
And to have someone on at least Argentina's main stage talking about the inflation tax is really incredible.
Wow. All right. So what else do we need to know about this guy?
Well, that he's being compared to Trump, which I think is a smear, honestly.
Well, okay, let's get the aesthetics out of the way. Is he an old dude? Is he a young dude? Is he,
He's middle-aged.
Okay. All right.
Middle-aged.
Suit and tie guy.
He looks like he's 50 or something
like
that.
He's not wearing a t-shirt. Right. You see that?
Yep.
He's not wearing a denim jacket. Not that that matters.
Yeah, there's some interesting articles on the guy. This one's Javier Milei, the unclassifiable Argentine politician.
Coming from where?
This one's coming from El País.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on that one here, too. I don't know if it's the same one, but they got another one about him.
Yeah, he embodies a South American Trumpism, which, again, I think this is a way of really attempting to dismiss the ideas of anything different occurring. I mean, if I were to compare him to anyone, I would compare him to Ron Paul, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, somebody proposing to end the state currency, which is my understanding, that was what the guy who called in last night said. This guy is proposing to end the peso, the Argentinian peso, and apparently dollarize the country. So, I mean, that's not perfect, but still, it's a step in the right direction, because if you can end a central bank anywhere, go ahead and do that.
Yes,
right.
Please.
And so, like, Trump has never proposed anything like that. I mean, for all I can tell, he's completely in the pocket of the bankers.
Well, and for better or for worse, I mean, the dollar is the best-looking horse in the glue factory. Like, right now, the dollar is by far the most steady fiat currency in the world.
That's like being the most complete turd in the toilet bowl.
It really is. Yeah. You know, it's like when all of your clothes are dirty and you're like, this is the t-shirt that smells the least bad. That's what the American dollar is. Because if you look at any other currency, they are way worse.
Yeah.
And like I was touching upon last time, every time that they print a bunch of dollars, it basically gives everyone else in the world permission to print even more, because that's what they're compared to.
Right.
But, I mean, to see a major politician speak favorably of Bitcoin is also amazing to watch, where he's like, I mean, he's not pushing that agenda, but he is pointing out that this is a positive thing and that it's returning money to the free market where it originated. And I don't mean necessarily BTC, but like Bitcoin, the technology, the protocol.
Well, I like what I'm hearing here, according to a different story at El País, which is, I think, a well-respected, as I understand it, Spanish-language publication.
Mm-hmm.
They say he recently introduced his chainsaw plan. And this was written back in March.
Wait. It's not a thing that's labeled a thing and means the opposite?
No, it means like cutting down the government. It is a mixture of what they describe as ultra-liberal ideas, where there are no ministries of education, health, public works, or social development, where the sale and purchase of organs is allowed, and where crime is resolved by allowing civilians to arm themselves.
What's wrong with organs, man? They have them in churches and everything.
Well, nothing. You should be able to sell your kidney if you want to do that.
Oh, I thought we were talking about pipe organs.
No.
So.
Yeah, this one on his unclassifiability starts out, anarcho-capitalist, far-right, minarchist, ultra-liberal, the indefinable Argentine economist Javier Milei has revolutionized his country's politics.
Is this a left publication?
El País?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I only say that because I just really hate how everyone throws anarcho-capitalists
into far right.
Mm-hmm. Anarcho-capitalism is not far right. Anarchism is not far right.
To be fair, this very same publication describes him as ultra-liberal in this story.
Like, well, he just did that two words later. Anarcho-capitalist, far right, minarchist, ultra-liberal.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, this is sort of a Central American and South American difference, and especially I know is common in Brazil, where libertarians are considered ultra-liberal.
Well, it's true, right? I mean, the classical definition of liberal would fit the libertarian.
Classical liberal, yeah.
We actually want to liberate you.
Mm-hmm.
But and I think in this country, it's been pundits like Rush Limbaugh that really that sort of reoriented the meaning of the word, these liberals! Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean these liberals that are taking away your liberty? Yeah, liberals! But
all right.
Yeah, so
the beginning of wisdom begins down calling things there by their proper name.
I'll just chalk up their nomenclature, faux pas to language, translation.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I mean, basically, their word simply hasn't been corrupted. Like, their word of liberal has not been corrupted the way that the word liberal has been corrupted in this country. And by the same token, I mean, I don't see Republicans conserving anything. Like, is there anything that they have kept the same that it was? Because I haven't seen it. No, everything has been changing. It's just they want everything to change slower. I mean, they're Democrats driving the speed limit in this country.
Well, they want it to change slower and in their way, under their control, as they see fit, mm-hmm. not as is best for humanity.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, this Milei guy has 17% of Argentines willing to vote for him for president so far.
17%?
Yep. Yep, catching up with the ruling left-wing Frente de Todos coalition, which is 25%, and the center-right opposition Juntos por Cambio, which is 27%.
So he's in third place.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So
respectable.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's really fascinating to see the parallel with RFK in this country hitting 19% of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been following that at all?
Not closely. I mean, I certainly know that you're referring to Robert Kennedy, who the junior, I guess.
Yeah, Robert Kennedy Jr., yeah.
He is known for being a critic of the whole COVID nonsense, mm-hmm. and good for him on that. Of course, he's also... still seems like a socialist in a lot of ways. So, I mean, he's by no means a small government, no government kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's just a critic on some things we like.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely got his authoritarian things in terms of guns, for example.
Yeah,
like, it horrifies him that someone could own a gun that looks like a cell phone.
Did you hear that? I heard a rumor about Porkfest.
Oh.
That apparently this guy is going,
to be there.
Yeah, I heard that as well, but
I
don't have any facts.
The rumor is that if you want to go see him speak, you will have to leave your guns at your campsite or off of the premises or whatever.
No,
so they're
really?
Going to allegedly be searching people coming into the pavilion.
Get the F
to
out.
See this guy speak
at Porkfest.
I think that's really sad.
That's dumb.
I mean, it's his event. If you want to run
it that way. No, Porkfest is not his event.
No. I mean, this speech at this pavilion is his event.
That is the official Porkfest speechifying place, right? The pavilion is where, like, Porkfest has been decentralized over the years, and I think that's made it a great event, and that's why it's been a sellout, in my opinion, for the last 2 years. But there still is the official schedule of speakers that goes on in the pavilion, and to see them allegedly, now I'm not, you know, this is just what I've heard, to see them shutting down the pavilion, which has historically been an open space where anyone attending Porkfest can go. There's no security there to, tackle you for open carrying a gun. In fact, normally that's encouraged at the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Right.
So for them to reverse course on that, say, oh, well, a politician is coming in and we have to change how we do things to accommodate this politician. I don't see why people like him... or this Vivek guy on the Republican side, who is apparently also going to be there, should be allowed at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I mean, these people are psychopaths who want to rule over you, and them coming to... Look, I get the idea of, hey, we should work with people we agree with. I'm not saying that that's not the case, but these are just D.C. politicians. They are not like a New Hampshire state representative who we could actually sit down and talk to and come to some agreements with and actually work with on getting things done. These people are just here to pander. They're just here to look for votes. Why in the world would anyone want to feature them at a libertarian event? I don't understand.
Why would the event go along?
Oh, I'm all for having RFK Jr. at this event. So, I mean, for all of his flaws, he is bringing the question of...
I don't have a problem with him being at the event, so to speak. What I got a problem with is them asking people to disarm themselves at a freedom festival. Porcupine it's Libertarian Freedom Festival, where open carry is not only encouraged, but it's almost like
you don't have to, but it's expected.
So for them to close down the pavilion for a frickin' politician and search people for guns?
Okay, look, if I was going to have an event at my campsite or whatever, and I didn't want anyone to have guns there, that would be fine.
That would be different than the official Porkfest event at the official pavilion. That is I think that's a real low point.
Look, here's my very simple perspective. He is making it less likely that we nuke the planet. Period. He is making sure that the question of whether we should be in Ukraine is at least being asked.
Because, you know, politicians have never lied to mass amounts of people.
Again,
before.
I don't care. This is part of the conversation, and that is
bloody important.
He can
have that conversation anywhere else besides the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I mean, this guy otherwise wants to have a big government meddling in your life, just like the Vivek guy who claims to be, he's anti-woke, so that's why we should, you know, give him a platform, too, because that's what some people say about him. Okay. On the other hand, he wants to start a war in Mexico.
Oh, Vivek, yeah.
Yeah. So, the dude's a psychopath. He doesn't need to be on a libertarian stage at a libertarian festival. Look, it makes no sense. We don't need whoever it is that these people are going to draw. We don't need them. The event's a sold-out event the last two years in a row.
Yeah.
We don't need whoever it is these people are going to attract. We don't need them.
Yeah, we absolutely don't need any more people being attracted by this. But I absolutely love the fact that this is how it's done now. Like, it is no longer a question of going on Fox News or CNN to announce your candidacy. Because if you're going to say anything remotely controversial, then they're going to block you out of all of these debates anyway.
These guys have been on those shows.
He announced his
candidacy. Certainly not been where his focus is.
Like, almost 2 months ago.
Certainly not been
where... They always come to New Hampshire, dude. This isn't something new. They always come here. They press the flesh. They kiss babies. They tell whatever lies they need to tell to get people to vote for them in the primary. Why anyone should reserve any time for any presidential candidates, unless it's the actual Free Stater who's running, Aaron Day. Unless you want to put him on the stage, fine. That makes sense. He's a Free Stater. He actually moved here as part of the Free State Project. He's got the track record.
Put him on stage with either of these two yahoos and have them debate.
Well, I think you're making the perfect be the enemy of the good. Look, the fact of the matter that
it's not my stage, so I don't get to decide. So.
Right, but
the
fact of the matter is that he's keeping important things in the conversation that would not exist otherwise. On the left, there is no conversation about these vaccines. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
They are lockstep on the entire COVID regime, and here is a powerful, important figure who is making sure to say, hey, this was unacceptable behavior on the part of the government.
That conversation is happening. Why is it important for it to happen at Porkfest in the pavilion, and it's sort of in, I don't want to say violation, but in pseudo-violation of, you know, the spirit
of
Porkfest.
The ethos of Porkfest, yeah.
Dude, I love the fact that important candidates have to come crawling to us for their importance. That's amazing.
I don't think they're important.
You don't think that RFK Jr. is an important
candidate? I don't think politicians are important.
They're scum, is what they are.
Okay.
Like I said, I mean, how tired do you have to be of politicians lying to you? He's not the first guy to say a bunch of nice fluffy stuff and then not do any of it.
Well, there's no one on the left saying any fluffy stuff about questioning the COVID regime. There's no one on the left saying nice fluffy stuff about not getting us all nuked.
No, I understand how you feel about it. I'm saying, why is it important for that to be brought to Porkfest under their conditions instead of under normal Porkfest conditions?
Well, for one thing, I appreciate the fact that we have the dissident voices on the left and the right here so that they will be exposed to the criticism of libertarians. That, I think, is a tremendously important thing. So, I mean, either this guy's going to have no question and answer thing, which is, you know, scummy and an obvious thing, and that's going to hurt him, or he's going to start answering questions from libertarians. And that, I think, is amazing.
It'll be meaningless. Whatever it is that I'm with Captain on this one. Whatever it is that comes out of his mouth is meaningless because he's a politician. So you can't believe a word that he says. He'll say whatever he can do, and he's probably really, really sharp, right? So he'll sculpt his answers in the way that will be most acceptable to the audience that he's dealing with. He'll try to sound as libertarian as he possibly can, and then he'll move on, and he'll get whatever points he gets from his appearance, and it'll be a total waste of everyone's time, because it is absolutely meaningless what these people say. You can't trust a word that comes out of their mouth.
But politics is a fantastic place to have this conversation, because people actually pay attention when it comes to people running for offices. I don't make those rules. I think that's terrible, but that's how people are. They do not care about these things unless it's in the context of someone either having a position or trying to get it.
Yeah, if they're talking about non-libertarians.
Yeah, I want to convert them.
So somebody asked me...
I want them to come to their senses and return to their, like, childlike sense of logic in reality.
So
and this is not going to happen unless they start having these conversations.
I guess there's a possibility that some non-libertarians will come to Porkfest to see this guy speak. That's a possibility, right? Like, that he may attract people who otherwise wouldn't have come to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but they heard about this RFK guy going to be there, so they show up in Lancaster, New Hampshire, from wherever they drove from to see him speak. Maybe they'll hang around. Maybe they'll talk to some libertarians while they're there. That could be one tangential benefit to this. But that same thing could happen if the Mises Caucus had him speak at their tent. Or you had him speak at your tent, or whatever, you know, because there's dozens of places, venues that are on this campground that are privately sponsored, privately set up. If the Democratic Freedom Caucus wants to open up a tent and have RFK come have a question and answer speechifying seminar, that's great.
And you're cool with them not letting people be armed in that site?
That's their own private site. But to have that happen at the Porkfest standard, at the high-end...
The main stage,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, the focused site of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, I think is a real... I think it's a slap in the face to everybody that is trying to exercise their rights.
If he were just going to be there and be on the main stage in the pavilion, far out. I got no problem. When they say that they're going to search people who are attending, who've paid for this week-long festival in advance, expecting it to be a certain way.
So don't go to the pavilion.
I understand that, right? I understand that I have that choice, but for the festival to partake in it is a whole different thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go further than you on this. I wouldn't schedule him for the pavilion, even if there were no restrictions, because I think it's a bad look to be pandering to politicians, to be saying, hey, look, we're the freedom movement in New Hampshire. We're going to highlight all these cool things that are happening in here in New Hampshire. Oh, and here are these liars that we're going to put on our top stage at the top location for everybody to see and take them seriously.
They're useful liars. Pure and simple. He is a useful liar to making sure that this conversation happens.
I have no use for liars.
He doesn't deserve a libertarian platform, in my opinion. Somebody asked me the other day at the 420 in Concord, hey, would you want to put him on your show? And I was like, no, I don't want to put politicians on my show, period. I don't want him on the show. I don't want Vivek on the show because I don't care what they think. I know they're not going to change their mind based on any conversation we have. So what's the point of talking to them? There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden says talks about the debt ceiling are moving along. Biden added there are real discussions about a deal, but we're not there yet. The weather halted former President Trump's outdoor rally in Iowa today. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis did speak earlier in the day in the Hawkeye State. As reports indicate, he is close to officially jumping into the race for president. The nation's midsection is bracing for more severe weather. The National Weather Service says large hail, damaging winds, and even some tornadoes are possible across Iowa and Illinois. Those storms come a day after 34 tornadoes were reported in Nebraska, as well as Kansas and Oklahoma. The four University of Idaho students who were stabbed to death in November will be receiving posthumous degrees from the university this weekend at graduation ceremonies. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Talk Live. Phones are open here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
I feel underdressed.
Oh, because you're the only one not wearing a Beard Talk Live or Captain Kickass shirt tonight?
That's right. It's pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet.
You probably have one in that box, though.
I have 30.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, the Beard Talk Live is coming up later on tonight, 10:30 Eastern Time, and Captain Kickass does have T-shirts available. How does one order a Beard Talk Live T-shirt?
Currently, for our listeners who are not attending Forkfest or Porkfest, you can just go to Amazon.com, type in Beard Talk Live shirt, and it'll just come right up.
Easy.
Or you can go to CaptainKickass.com, and at the top of the page, there's two T-shirts. One says Beard Talk Live. Click on the button that says Get Shirt.
Excellent. All right, so check that out at CaptainKickass.com. And then later tonight, 10:30 Eastern, tune in over at watch.freetalklive.com for the latest episode of Beard Talk Live, which I think is just the two of y'all.
Yeah, two beards
tonight. By the way, Mark Warden is the Porcupine Real Estate founder, the chief Porcupine Real Estate guy over there, and they do some great work helping people who are looking to make the move here to New Hampshire, this libertarian migration, which we were just kind of discussing with the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Mark Warden, of course, longtime sponsor over there at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, longtime sponsor here on Free Talk Live as well. He helps people like you who might be looking to make that move, join the migration of freedom-loving people here to New Hampshire. Find some housing here, whether it be buying a home or even renting. He can help get you connected with rentals as well. A lot of times you don't want to buy right out the gate. Maybe get a feel for the lay of the land and what's in the market. They can help you. They're also doing a series of webinars there's already been some that have been done. You can actually watch them over on their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. But upcoming seminars include topics like gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom victories, how to move to the free state, and finding housing. These are experts. These are people who've lived here. They're Free State Project early movers. They know the community. They know a lot of the stuff that's going on here, and they want to help you understand, help you learn more about this place before you come, before you visit, before you move. Go sign up over at move.freetalklive.com for the upcoming webinars from Porcupine Real Estate. That's move.freetalklive.com. You go to that URL, it'll take you right over to the Porcupine Real Estate website, to the sign-up page. Once again, that's move.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. We have David on the line in Georgia. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Porcupine Real Estate. Tom.
Dang. Catchy.
That is so catchy.
It is catchy.
It really, really is.
They have made a fantastic jingle. What I called in about tonight was Liberland. I called in about probably a month ago and mentioned Liberland, and I actually went and applied for the e-residency program, and just yesterday I got a package from DHL, and in it I got my Liberland state ID, I got a flag, I got a brochure, and a couple other things about how to activate the card and everything, so I activated my card, and I am now an official Liberland e-resident.
No passport, though.
They are not issuing passports to regular people just yet. They're issuing diplomatic passports, but not for like the government workers, but not regular.
And I'm just curious, how much did it cost you to get this package?
I want to say it was $100 or $150 U.S.
Okay. That's not unreasonable.
Now, a question for you on this. Did you have to do something else besides just pay? Because I know they used to only open this up to, like, people who are willing to contribute to Liberland. So is this open to anybody with $150, or is there some other thing? Do you have to, like, certify that you believe in liberty, or what else was there to do here?
So I just had to pay $150, and I had to go through a short application process that asked me kind of my views on things and different things like that. That was like a little questionnaire that you had to do, and pay $150. Now, if you want to become a citizen of Liberland, then you pay, I think the minimum is $5,000, and once you do that, they actually have a person do an interview with you. So, like, you either do a web interview, or you actually go somewhere and do like a citizen intake like interview type thing.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that's where they would like assess you out and be like, you don't believe in liberty enough or whatever.
I think I was conflating the two things. So e-residency is one thing, and then actual citizenship is another thing.
Right. E-residency gives you the right, I think, to like vote and stuff like that. And it also gives you the right to incorporate businesses in the Free Republic of Liberland. So I could now, if I wanted to, start a business there, if I so desired.
Interesting. I know, Captain, you used to have this online e-residency thing that you were telling me about. I don't know if we talked about it on the air much, but I think we might have.
BitNation was the name of that.
It's kind of defunct now, right?
It's not been a thing for, I don't know, probably longer than it was a thing now.
Liberland's been around for almost a decade, if I recall correctly, at this point, and I'm glad
2016.
Yeah, I'm glad to see they're kind of moving the ball forward and, you know, trying to create something. Because for listeners that don't know, Liberland is this little teeny, like, I don't know if it's even a square kilometer
or something.
It's bigger
than that.
It's
0.2 square kilometers.
0.2 square kilometers. Okay, so
7.2.
Okay. Not very large. And it's in the middle of the Danube River between Croatia and Serbia. So it's literally like a swamp in the middle of this river that's kind of, some of it's below water sometimes, I guess, sometimes not. Yeah. It's not a particularly inhabitable place, but in theory, someone could live there.
Well, so if memory serves, it was through a laughable bureaucratic, you know, mix-up in paperwork. It was a piece of area that neither country wanted
terra nullius, no man's land.
Yeah, neither country really wanted to claim, and so the I'm trying to remember the founder's name.
Vitsjetlička.
He was like, "Hey, look, there's an opportunity here."
Mm-hmm.
Right? He saw an opportunity where the states saw no man's land, trash.
Yeah. So, one man's trash is another man's treasure. So they started this thing up, and they've been going to libertarian conferences like Anarchapulco. We've interviewed a bit here on Free Talk Live. Yeah. On a number of occasions from these various different conferences. I know they've been to the Liberty Forum here in New Hampshire previously. It's probably been a little while, but they've definitely been up here as well. I know they just had a anniversary conference. I follow their YouTube channel, and they had some like 10-minute clips from some of the speeches that were being
done. Yeah, I'm on an email list for them. So I get, you know, some emails from them from time to time.
Yeah, they had some guy who was from the Seasteading group, which is kind of related. They're another seeking liberty kind of in these unusual places groups. And the Seasteaders apparently got themselves like a big old barge now. And I don't remember where they said it was parked. I think it was like somewhere off of Saudi Arabia or something like that.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was like they've got this massive barge, which they say can hold up to 50 people. And they're already trying again with the whole seasteading thing. Because the last time the Seasteaders got raided by the Thailand king, and they tried to kidnap those people. Luckily, they were
not by pirates, mind you, but by
the other pirates,
by a government.
Yeah. David, anything else you want to share about your Liberland experience?
I want to say, if I remember correctly, I just saw an email the other day that said that their office in Washington, D.C. is going to be opening on, I want to say it was either the 23rd or the 26th of May.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, are they calling it an embassy or is it just an office?
I am not certain. I didn't see the word embassy in any of the emails, so I'm assuming it's just an office. But there's going to be, like, a representative there for Liberland, so you can, like, go talk to the representatives and stuff like that.
I wonder if you can only call your office an embassy if the host country actually recognizes you as another nation. I wonder if there are rules about, you know, what is and what is not considered an embassy.
I don't know.
David, thanks.
I'm seriously considering applying for the citizenship once I get the money to do so.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of benefit it would confer, but it would be an interesting process to go through and to learn about. So definitely let us know.
Well, my thought would be whatever to move out of the United States. I was actually looking into what it would take to move to Mexico just a minute ago, like a little bit ago too, because I think moving out of the United States would be a fantastic thing.
There's certainly a lot of people who've been doing that. Mexico has a large number of illegal immigrants, if you will, that are moving down there from the United States. Thank you for the call tonight, David. I appreciate hearing from you. The number tonight, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. Let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. What's your name? Hello? Caller?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, we have you.
Hi, name's Rick.
Hey, Rick.
I called this show the night before last, I guess. Right. And I don't know if you were the two guys I talked to or not. I had a discussion with someone about something you were talking about a little while ago, the gun violence problem.
Yeah, you were the guy wanted psychologists to be able to bar people by giving the federal government a thumbs down, essentially, in a database to bar people from being able to exercise their right to bear arms.
I remember this guy.
Yeah, I just thought that, you know, psychologists go through about 8 years of training, and who would be more competent to do something like that?
Literally,
and I don't
anyone.
Think it's going to violate Joe Citizen's constitutional rights.
By definition, you're violating someone's rights if you're saying that you're going to tell them they can't exercise their rights. That's how you violate someone's rights. You say, I know better than you. I went to college.
So,
I have a university education.
Okay with, Yeah, you, so basically you're okay with someone who's already been diagnosed as psychologically unstable, like the lady who committed the Covenant shooting.
Given the organization that is diagnosing them, absolutely. They have no idea what sanity is.
I am not okay with people shooting up.
A psychologist has to go through 8 years of training.
I don't care about their training, Richard. My rights are my rights, and I don't care how much training somebody has to have an excuse of why I should have my rights taken away.
Richard might be onto something. If we had clinical psychologists evaluate politicians, they would find none of them are acceptable to be in charge of anyone, anywhere, for any reason.
No, I can't disagree with that.
Clinical psychologists are basically glorified drug dealers. That's
politicians
all.
As you do, so...
It seems like you have a bit of a dichotomy here, Richard. You're saying on one hand, you agree that politicians are bad people, but wouldn't it be politicians who would implement the policies that you're talking about?
Eventually, yeah, it would have to be.
Why would you trust them?
And I know that's, you know, how do you trust people like that? Yeah.
Why would you? Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if you two were the guys that I talked to about that or not.
What does it matter?
The idea of, you know,
okay, so,
didn't
so
really
let's,
get a fair
let's,
shake. But
let's run hypothetically
me.
Through your
you,
system.
You got
for
a fair
just
shake, dude.
Let's
You're
run,
back now, though. Go
let's
ahead.
Run hypothetically through your system for just a second. Let us presuppose that psychiatrists are actually capable of telling who is and isn't sane, and let's give them the power to deny people guns.
I think he was proposing psychologists, not psychiatrists.
Okay. Either way.
Okay.
Let's presuppose
well,
that
you know,
these,
I mean,
well,
it's hold, just that a... Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Do you think that there is one chance in a million that the government is not going to take that over? Do you
well,
really think that
I don't
the government
like,
they have a reason to keep people unarmed? They always have a reason to keep people unarmed. A disarmed population cannot fight back against the craziest of government overreaches. So even if this was a good idea, it would immediately get taken over by one side or another of the government and used against the other side of the government and used to oppress the population. It's just disarmament by any other means. And dear God, man, look through history at what happens when you disarm people. Lenin, Stalin, Mao, all of these things. Hitler. I mean, I hate to be the guy that uses Hitler in the argument, but, like, he could not have done what he did without disarming the population.
Well, I quite understand that. I'm just
and
saying
do you
that
understand that the government
are...
will take this power if you give it to their flunkies.
It depends on the bill. I mean, you know, you got to.
Wow. What
talk
makes you
to
think
the right
they would follow their own rules
to get
dude.
It to work?
What makes you think they but, ever follow their own rules?
Well,
can you
probably
name one?
Not a whole lot.
Can you name?
But
one?
I just think that there's got to be some better way of determining who's fit and who's not. You know, you got to separate the sheep from the goats somehow.
Why?
Or we're just going to have a worse gun violence problem than we already do.
Okay, let me propose a different solution. So instead of disarming the population in whole or in part, instead of doing that, how about we just stop making insane people? Because right now we have a system that causes people to become insane. That is what our public school system
does. Well, I'm not talking about taking guns away from people who already own them. Not, don't get me wrong. That's not what I want.
Yeah, because a program will... can you name one program that has ever stayed the original size and scope that it was designed? There aren't
well, I'm
any.
Not a,
no government program a, sticks to its original size and scope. You know? It always expands.
And
well,
always there's people who get in charge of it.
I don't
who,
follow them, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe you should pay a little bit of attention to what politicians do before you start calling for them to do another thing. Maybe you should look and see that, well, that whenever they create a government program, it always goes way beyond the bounds of the original intentions, even if they were good intentions, by the people who created it to be abused by the very bureaucrats who run that system, the very police that enforce it.
And the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah, so here's what you
I
do.
I understand what you're saying, but, you know, nobody
but,
has
now you're
going
to go back to the thing you were saying.
Practical solution to this problem.
Yeah, I got
yet.
A practical solution, and I mentioned it the other night. The practical solution is more people good people carrying guns and coming to the aid of people in need of any kind of violent situation.
I don't think
situation.
I want more than 150 million guns, which is what we've got already. I'm sorry, but it just, you know, there's got to be some other way to do this.
Let me ask you this. What gives you the right and or privilege to decide who or how many guns should be owned by anybody other than yourself?
I'm not trying to usurp that right. I'm just saying that clinical psychologists already go through 8 years of training.
You've said that at least three times now.
And their training does not cause them to be able to tell sanity from insanity.
And also, you didn't answer the question. You are indeed declaring that you think you have an idea that would be best for everybody. Where did you get that right from? Where did that come from? Where do you get that right from? Where do you get that privilege from?
I'm not arrogating to myself any right or privilege that I don't already have. I'm just saying that there's got to be some way to get guns out of the hands of people who are not psychologically or emotionally
qualified. Yes, here's how you do it. When a psychopath pulls a gun out and starts trying to kill people, you blast them to death, and then you can remove the gun from their cold, dead hands. Mm-hmm. That's the way you do it.
And how many other people get killed in the process?
Hopefully not very many.
Look at the Covenant shooting.
Yeah, hopefully not very many. Unfortunately, you keep bringing up this shooting where everyone was disarmed because it was on a school campus.
Yeah, I don't hear you crying about schools getting bombed overseas. You're just crying about this one shooting that happened near you.
Well, I'm not in Texas, but, yeah, I mean, there are other shootings like that. Uvalde, there's a bunch of them.
Okay, and what about the innocents that are killed by states, by governments, through war?
Well, that's not part of the same problem.
That is 100% the same problem.
Here.
These are psychopaths with the most powerful weapons imaginable. Like, that's your issue, right? Is that you have insane people
with great abilities to kill, right?
Most of those people are dead. The politicians who are authorizing bomb droppings in the Middle East, they're still alive, most of them. John McCain's dead, but most of them are still alive.
See, Clinton's alive. Bush is alive.
Biden's still there. Trump's still there. Obama's
alive.
Still there.
Well,
not a single one of them has been rounded
saying.
Up.
I just think that there should be some way of, as I said, figuratively separating sheep from the goats so that we don't have to worry about the wrong people getting their hands on guns.
Well, so far you've now called about the same topic three times. And you've continued
to... only Night Before Last.
No, you've called about it more than 3 times. This is the 3rd time in my recollection. You continue to bring up the same point that you believe that there's a certain class of men, the psychologists, who they went to government school so they know who's crazy and who isn't, which, of course, is number one reason why to not put these people in charge. But secondly, the whole idea that anyone should be in charge of being able to disable someone else's rights is completely anathema to the viewpoint on this show, which believes in individual rights and says there should be no abrogation of individual rights. And we believe that freedom is the way to more accountability. Freedom is the way to more safety. And we certainly see that in places where you are free to carry a gun. Like, for instance, the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Somebody wants to start shooting up the Porcupine Freedom Festival. That's going to be over real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And you also admitted on your last call, was it Richard? Is that your name?
Well, Rick. Whichever one.
All right, Rick. So you also admitted last time that if somebody really wants to, that you think they would probably still be able to get guns, even though there was a psychologist out there who labeled them as crazy.
Well, I'm not talking about the black market. I know it exists. I'm just saying that there should be some way legally to keep people who've already been diagnosed as psychologically or emotionally unstable from getting their hands on something that they can hurt people.
But you've
with.
Already admitted that if they want to get their hands on those things in the black market, they'll be able to do that, right?
Yes.
So why do you need to create more bureaucracy? What makes you think that bureaucracy is going to solve this problem, Rick?
Well, All I'm saying is I think the suggestion is viable. I know you guys don't agree.
You're not looking at anything else. You're not looking at what you lose. You're not looking at, like, will this actually cause the change that you want it to look at? So let me point out something that this will cause, definitely. Okay, all of the psychologists, they get to decide who does and does not have guns. Okay, guess what? They might decide that being conservative is insane. So anyone who's conservative can no longer have guns. What do you think that will lead to, Richard?
Well, it might lead to tighter government control, and I know you're not a fan of that. I just thought
it might.
It might lead to Stalin,
is what it might lead to, Rick.
But you're okay with it, Rick. I mean, that's what ultimately you've come down to share with us here, is that you're totally fine with more government controls. Just make sure it's the right people, quote-unquote, who get to decide.
Well, I just think that, I took a lot of psychology when I went to UT because I wanted to be a teacher. And if I learned one thing, it's that the science of psychology has advanced enough to be able to do this. I think. Now, maybe other people don't. So,
Let me give you another way of looking at this. Let's say that, I'm a Catholic, and I believe that our bishops are totally able to tell who does and does not have demons. And I believe that people only shoot up schools when they are demon-possessed. And so people should not be able to have guns if our priests say that they are possessed by demons. I mean, isn't that a reasonable thing?
I wouldn't consider it to be, but that's because...
That is the exact thing you're proposing.
The science of psychology has advanced to the point where it's possible
you
to
have
do
faith.
This.
You have faith that it is effective.
See, the difference, Peekless, between what you're saying and what he believes with his faith is that his churches, the schools, the universities, they don't have a course about demonology. They don't have a course about detecting demons and exorcism. So, therefore, that's not a legitimate belief system. Even though what you've described is exactly the same thing, it's not part of his religion. And his religion is a religion of academia, the religion of statism. Thank you for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. I don't care what your beliefs are. I don't care who your gods are. You don't have the right to take away other people's freedoms.
All I'm saying is
the same thing I've said five times in a row. And the same thing he'll probably say the next time he calls in as well. Another one-note Tony here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join the show. Hour number two is coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family. family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.